everybody would take their seats. We're going to get started now.
We had a deal. We had a price. I had to do that. We can't start because you won't sit down.
Because you got it wrong day.
Hector. Everyone please rise for the pledge. Remain standing for a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Fire evacuation plan. Please note that in the event of an emergency, the fire department has requested that legislators and all others move at least one block away from the county office building in order not to impede the firefighters in their duties. Cell phones. Please silence cell phones for the duration of the public hearing. Roll call. Allen.
Here.
Bartels.
Here.
Delfilio.
Here.
Berkey.
Here.
Briggs. DeLon.
Here.
Donaldson.
Here.
Fabiano. Gerentine,
here.
Green,
here.
Hefner,
here.
Lapp,
here.
Litz, Lopez,
here.
Warren,
here.
Mayo,
here.
Maloney,
here.
Parity John, Parity Richard, Roberts, Rodriguez,
present.
Ronk,
here.
Warrow,
here.
18 present, 5 absent. Tonight's public hearing is on the proposed 2017 Ulster County budget and the proposed 2017 to 2022 capital program. We have 5 speakers signed up.
This evening there are a few speakers. Normally we only allow 3 minutes for public comment, but since there are so few speakers, tonight we'll be allowing 4 minutes for public comment. Please keep an eye on the timekeeper in the back of the room.
The first speaker signed up is Michael Connors, the Albany County Comptroller.
Chairman, legislators, and visitors, thank you. As a former Albany County legislator, I always had trouble with the time limit, so I'm glad I'm looking at the clock. I had the honor and privilege to serve for 4 years in my own county before I became comptroller, which seems like 100 years ago, but it's only 21. I want to speak tonight about the county executive's budget for 2017, and particularly for the comptroller's office. There are a couple of stories that I want to share with you, if I could, about how important it is not to cut the watchdog's staffing or to cut the comptroller's office, particularly in these difficult times. And I'll give you a couple of quick stories from the local area. In our area, one of the largest not-for-profit organizations that has ever been built is the Nanotechnology Center, on Fuller Road. It's got $18 billion of tax-exempt property. You may have heard a little bit about this because the director of that was arrested and indicted for fraud. There are some huge problems with that. There were no bid contracts or bid rigging alleged, which, of course, have to be proven. The reason this is so important to this issue is that the legislature passed legislation in 2011 that forbid the state comptroller from looking at that. Well, that's what happens when you don't have people looking at expenditures for you. So you can have some tremendous problems that occur as a result of that. Now, I wouldn't pretend to talk to you about your budget. You've got a very interesting budget, particularly in view of the fact that it's very conservatively crafted, which I commend you on. And I commend you on your operation of the budget for the last several years. You appropriate your reserves and your fund balance, which you can only do during this period of time in the budget, and you've done so. And it looks like the county executive is appropriating approximately $16.3 million of your fund balance. Typically, they've used quite a bit less of that, and it's projected that somewhere in the neighborhood of $9 million is going to be used. So to use the excuse that the $200,000 that we're going to cut the property tax levy should come at the comptroller's staff expenditure doesn't make good sense, and it doesn't make good politics. Now, I come from a county that is well known for being a Democratic county. For us, we have all our fun in September because of the primary season. But it is something that you have to look at, that the legislature has a representative that looks over the county executive's budget for you, helps you with the audit process and the functions of looking at expenditures. You want to make sure that that's going to be there. When you start to cut someone by 20% of the staff and no one else is cut by anywhere near that, it becomes clear that you're looking at a targeted retribution. I'm sure that you are aware of heard that, and I'm sure that the legislature will act wisely about that. And in closing, what I'd like to ask you to consider is that does it make sense if you're going to have $330 million of your money, because you appropriate the money, you raise the levy, does it make sense to cut the staffing that's going to be available to watch over that? There's plenty of places to make adjustments in the budget to take care of that $200,000, and hopefully the legislature in its wisdom will do so. Mr. Chairman, members of the legislature, thank you for this opportunity.
The second speaker is the Onondaga Comptroller, Robert Antonacci.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the legislature. Do I get the rest of Connor's time? I think he had a minute left. It's my honor to be here. It is my honor to be here, not only as the Onondaga County Comptroller, but as a good friend of Elliot Auerbach, who I've met through our duties as comptrollers. We formed NYSECA, which is the New York State Elected Comptrollers Organization. There's only eight of us in the state, and many of our duties vary, and I think you should pay attention to that. There's a lot of different duties, and it's tough to sometimes compare elected comptrollers to each other, especially when you've got an executive that is trying to cut the budget. I just came out of budget season in Onondaga County. My executive, without any doubt, a revenge budget, tried to cut my staff 25%. She eliminated my entire payroll staff and wanted to take that oversight out of our office. We fought hard, and our legislature returned those positions back to our office. There were six positions that were returned to our office. So there's always going to be a political overtone. And in my county, I'm a Republican. My county executive is a Republican, and the majority of our legislature was Republican. And we worked through that issue because it was the right thing to do for the right reasons. I would urge you to stand up to the county executive. Oversight should not be cut in this era of fraud, mismanagement, and abuse. I'm going to give you a quote from Preet Bharara, and I think we all know Preet Bharara. He said this at a recent ethics seminar. It would be a time to actually not be removing watchdogs and not be removing oversight, but increasing oversight. That's what we need in today's environment. And is this politically motivated? Again, I came out of an easily politically motivated budget. Now, probably some of it was my own fault. I actually sued the county legislature and the executive for an illegal pay raises that were given to themselves after the budget was passed and after election season last year. As part of my oversight of payroll, I felt that I could not certify that payroll, so I commenced that lawsuit, and I was successful in convincing the court that the legislative pay raise was illegal. Well, I was rewarded with a revenge budget and a cut of my staff. But the bottom line is, when you look at this budget of Elliot Auerbach, he is receiving a 20% reduction in his budget. The county executive, 0.31%. Clerk, 1.56%. District attorney, 0.31%. Finances actually going up 0.23%, and the personnel commissioner is only going down 1.41%. And the controller's office is being hit to the tune of a 20% decrease in its funding. You need oversight. It's important to have oversight, and Elliot has done a great job. You should be proud of Elliot. He is a phenomenal controller. We look at his reports. We share ideas. The man cares about Ulster County, and I would urge you, restore funding to that department, because that's really what your job is. Elliot's an extension of you. He keeps an eye on the purse strings because let's face it, it's tough for a legislative body to do that in today's environment. The governments are much bigger. They're much more complex. And Elliot is your eyes and ears. Don't cut him. Don't make it impossible for him to do his job. And with that, I thank you very much.
Ulster County Comptroller Elliot Auerbach.
Mr. Chairman and members of the legislature, I just want to share with you briefly some remarks that were offered this morning in front of 150 business people at the Ulster County Chamber of Commerce breakfast. With a $324 million budget in front of us, we occasionally lose track of the people and the responsibilities that put a name and a face to a budget line. So I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce one of the hardest working, most underappreciated offices in Ulster County government, whose mission on a daily basis is to safeguard taxpayers' money and ensure that you have a government that is efficient, effective, and economical. I dub them the Magnificent Seven. Instead of protecting a small village of marauding bandits, they are busy protecting the public's interest from waste and abuse. Seven people who understand that it is more cost-effective to prevent fraud than detect it. Seven people who monitor millions of dollars in county government spending, much like a smoke alarm or a carbon monoxide detector protecting your home and family, they are there sounding the alarm when danger is imminent. Seven people who are on patrol, walking the beat and taking notice of right and wrong. While you may not interact with them on a daily basis, you're glad they're there to prevent things from going bad. Policing every dime and every dollar spent on a daily basis in Ulster County is the claims auditing team from my office. Steve Ross, hailing from Marbletown, a country music aficionado, an extreme landscaper and gardener, whose career with the county spans three decades, and he began his career with Ulster County as a custodian. Nancy Dorella, wave Nancy. A lifelong Kingston resident, a Virginia Tech grad, a mother of three teenagers, and our office's eternal optimist. Between the two of them, they are responsible for annually auditing 25,000 vendor invoices, 10,000 vendor checks, and upwards to $150 million in vendor payments, in addition to 40,000 payroll checks totaling $77 million. And their due diligence translates into savings to the county of tens of thousands of dollars. Next is the field auditing team responsible for departmental and contractual audits, reviewing internal controls, best practices, and recognizing risks. Senior Auditor Elizabeth Werdick, Beth, you can wave, thank you, a resident of the town of Kingston, a Siena College grad, a mother of two, is our office's professional skeptic. Joining Beth in the field with the MBA from Pace is a diehard Dallas Cowboy fan, Kingston High School grad and father of two boys, Randy Boughton, who was wooed away from a private sector municipal accounting firm to come back home to Ulster County. Beth and Randy are on track to complete 35 audits and reviews this year, which encompass multi-million-dollar operational and programs within the Department of Social Services, the Office of the Ulster County Sheriff, the Department of Public Works, and the Ulster County Area Transit, to name a few. In addition, $21 million worth of not-for-profit contracts with the county, performing cash receipt audits and auditing sales tax revenues and disbursements. They have uncovered thousands of dollars in questionable child care provider payments. They've discovered thousands of dollars in unaccounted for public works equipment, exposed a contract of a few thousand dollars that has ballooned into a few hundred thousand dollars, and raised concerns about incomplete information technology data disaster recovery plans that put the county at risk should a catastrophe strike. And I see my time is up. Can I...
Have a few more moments.
Thank you. Because I just want to finish introducing those folks who've been working hard protecting the county's interests. Because overseeing both the audit divisions is the Director of Internal Audit and Control, Alicia DeMarco. Alicia is a certified public accountant who's received a degree from SUNY New Paltz and comes from an accounting career in the private sector. Alicia conducts risk assessments of nearly 40 units of county governments and designs, orchestrates, and participates in all of the audits and reviews. She not only motivates our office, but she herself is motivated to be a new mom in January. Alicia works closely with the day-to-day auditing operations and also oversees the review and preparation of the reconciliation of the county's nearly 50 bank accounts. She monitors millions of dollars in county-related funds, such as the Ulster Tobacco Asset Corporation, and is responsible to prescribe procedures and methods of accounting to avoid risks. Most recently, she and her auditors prompted the abandonment of a not-to-exceed $3 million county contract with a foster care provider who had its license revoked. And managing the administration functions in my office is New Paltz native son and Marist College graduate Dan Torres. Dan handles the office's constituent and community relations, attends the public information and outreach, and a myriad of other initiatives, including our successful intern program and our recognizing success program. And last, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and last, but certainly not least, the craftsman responsible for putting all of the pieces of the puzzle together, the Deputy Controller, Evan Gallo, another product of Kingston High School. A diehard Pearl Jam fan, a graduate with a degree in law from the University of Miami, and the voice of reason on our team. Evan handles all legislative legal affairs, is the liaison with private and public sector entities, consults with other governments on a local and state level, keeps us out of trouble, and is the final authority of all audits and reports. And I just leave you with this. The road to transparency and accountability, however, is not without potholes and detours. I'm here to defend the Comptroller's office and its requested budget, which is less than one-third of 1%, or approximately $900,000 of the entire county's proposed $324 million budget. The present attempt by the Executive's office to reduce our budget by over 20% will force the layoff of at least two of those people I introduced tonight, and dramatically reduce the oversight that we provide. In closing, I only hope that our short time together this evening allows you to appreciate that there are seven people on a daily basis looking out for the people's interest, and that I hope you will join me to ensure that the door of open government will not be slammed in the taxpayers' face. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mike Davidge.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the legislature, visitors, thank you for letting me speak. Every morning, we, your constituents, open the newspaper, watch the news, and we see corruption from Washington, Albany, malfeasance, abuse of power, and in my personal opinion, I think to cut the Comptroller's budget, which keeps the government accountable to the people, I think it would be a bad idea. Restoring this budget would demonstrate to your constituents a show of good faith, the fact you want your government accountable to your constituents. Thank you. Appreciate it.
The last speaker signed up is Howard Ball.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman,
members of the legislature. My name is Howard Ball. I'm a labor relations specialist with CSEA. I'm also a county resident for just about my entire life. It's really troubling when I learned that the executive's proposed budget was cutting approximately $200,000 from the comptroller's budget. The comptroller's office, particularly the comptroller, is a separate branch of elected government in this county. And it's clear with, you know, cutting 20% of a budget to save $200,000, which equates to somewhere between a dollar or two to the average county taxpayer, depending on what the value of your house is. It's really troubling that that would be done. It's interesting that the executive has on two occasions informed CSEA regarding the CSEA members in that office and where they may fall in the county someplace else if they were to be cut. That just underscores even more so, in my opinion, the reason for the cut in this budget. It's not about belt tightening. You know, belt tightening to the tune of a dollar for the average taxpayer is not belt tightening. It smacks of political retribution is what it is. And it's interesting that we would even entertain these cuts in a department that's responsible for oversight within our county government. I mean, the charter was set up with the intent to have the comptroller's office to have that oversight. This isn't the first time that the comptroller's office has been cut. As a matter of fact, a few years ago it was cut. So what my concern is, for the sake of our road patrol, I surely hope that none of our deputy sheriffs pull the county executive over any night coming out of this office building, because we can't afford to have those cuts on the table next year. Thank you.
Are there any speakers? With no other speakers, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved. Seconded. All in favor? Opposed?